this past summer, when we were at the very end and then going into the fall, going through a series on Revelation, and I just took a part of that to a conference a week ago, and there were similar comments like, whoever ministers on Revelation, this is the first I've ever heard of. But at any rate, one of the things that I genuinely enjoyed unpacking was just how generous and broad God and Jesus were and are in helping the seven churches of Asia Minor by giving them promises and opportunity to escape any of their predicaments, even the self-inflicted predicaments. How many of you know sometimes our predicaments are self-inflicted? Have you ever had a self-inflicted wound before, like myself? But also with the extravagant promise of rewards to those who overcome. And in like sentiment, I am grateful today how God moves towards us in kindness and in love and in mercy, invitation, and the privilege of participation with Him through His grace and graciousness. I just appreciate how much of an initiator our God is. And that's something not to take for granted. In any kind of dynamic or social construct, you always need initiators and you need leaders and leadership. And God is the grand and great initiator as far as His affection toward us, coming toward us in view of our predicament. And I'm just so grateful that He makes the first move towards us over and over again, not just once, but many, many times over, and how we are mere beneficiaries and recipients of His great love and His calling on our lives. It's humbling how He faithfully engages us in the midst of our fallenness, brokenness, and rebellion, and He lifts us up and He lifts us out. And He is the one responsible for throwing the lifeline to us versus some nobility within us to reach out to Him. We were stuck, and He comes to save, deliver, restore, help, and heal. Would we not all agree that that's who God is, that's what God does, and we certainly ought to be a company of grateful folk up in here. Yet, in His grand overture toward us, we find a repetitive word and term in Scripture that brings home the fact that we are to respond to His powerful initiative. And that word is whosoever. Can we say that together? Whosoever. And if you're in the NIV or possibly the NAS, maybe the rendering would be whoever. But I'm going back to the old King James just for this today. Whosoever. I just like the feeling of that. Whosoever. And again, you'll find whoever. I'm going to weave in and out in between the two today. So this term of choice, with all of its implications, are literally throughout all of Scripture. It's not only unavoidable, but it really is in our face biblically. It's amazing when you do a word study on a concept or, you know, a term, a word, just how frequent the term is. And God is sovereign in putting the canon of Scripture together. So this whosoever implies a grand overture and invitation has been made on multiple, multiple, multiple levels towards us and for us. Therefore, whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. I don't know about you, but I want to be a whosoever. I want to be a whosoever. Like, sign me up. I want to be a whosoever. I want to be an extravagant and grand responder to who He is, what He has done, and any offer He has made to me in His name. Could it be that He's waiting on me? Many times that is the case. It's all by grace, yet I have the innate power within me to say yes to His initiative and to His overture and to His provision and anything that He has set forth and provided for me and all of us in the atonement. And he has given you and he has given me the power to say yes. The power to say yes. In Acts 2, the birthing of the church on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up boldly and gives explanation of what they are seeing and hearing, quoting the prophet Joel, that God promised to pour out his spirit on all flesh, all people. Their sons and daughters would prophesy. Their young men would see visions. Their old men will dream dreams. And he goes down to verse 21 of Acts chapter 2. Again, in the King James here, it reads this way. And Peter says, and it shall, let's read this out loud together. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there was the promise of God pouring out his spirit. He was doing it on that day, on the day of Pentecost. And so here he's granting the hearers and the observers of what was going on that day opportunity to respond. But then he said, but this promise is for you and for all those that are far off and for all those whom our Lord will call. Well, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but I'm going to choose to be chosen by the grace of God by saying yes to his initiative. And so it was for that day, but it was also for succeeding generations to come. But again, you think about that. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I mean, that is pretty broad and wide open. Would you not agree? That's amazingly generous. Salvation belongs to God, yes, but wow, whosoever, what a broad, grand gesture to anyone who will. This same Peter in his second letter or epistle stated plainly in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, he, God, is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but what? But everyone, you can speak back, it's okay, but what? It's kind of interactive, but, and if I'm in the way, I'll duck, I can do it if I need to. But can you say everyone? Everyone. Yeah, but everyone to come to repentance. So God's desire is for how many to come to repentance? Everyone. How awesome is that? Peter qualifies, God is even patient. In other words, he gives people, he gives you and I, he has historically, but he gives people, thank God in his economy, he gives people a gift of time. Why? Because he's not wanting any to perish. How clear is that? Peter said he's patient, not wanting any, a gift of time. Remember in our series in Revelation how in chapter 2:21, how Jesus graciously even gave Jezebel time to repent. Remember that particular narrative? But remember, she was what? She was unwilling. Can you say unwilling? Unwilling. She was unwilling. 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 Listen, God wasn't unwilling. She was unwilling. And in the middle of that word unwilling is will. She did not will to respond. Now that doesn't make sense to me, probably not to you. It certainly doesn't make sense to God. But he'll still honor that choice and that decision nonetheless. The will is a powerful thing. The will is a powerful thing. Remember how Jesus gave Thomas a gift of time so he could see for himself that Jesus had in fact been raised from the dead. That gift of time paid off, and his patience with Thomas afforded Thomas the great privilege of carrying the gospel to India. An apostle to India due to God's calling, yes, but also God's patience. God was patient with Thomas. Jesus kindly called his bluff when Thomas said, and we've all had to eat our words on occasion, have we not? But when Thomas said, quote, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Do you see the will in action there? I will not. I will not. Like asking your little child with chocolate all over the face, have you been in the cake? I have not. I will not. So here you've got Thomas. He's being an honest man. That's good, but he's honestly wrong in this particular equation. I will not believe. And aren't we glad that God is gracious, kind, and as Peter noted, patient. He's not slow in keeping his promise as people measure slowness or understand slowness. It's strategic. Or as Will Ferrell said, strategery. It's strategic. It's strategic. He hasn't forgotten what time it is. He's waiting, stretching his mercy to the max, coming back around time and time again, He's patient. Whosoever will. The will. Matthew 10:32 reads, "Whosoever or whoever acknowledges or confesses me before men," Jesus said, "I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." This promise, this declaration is for whom? For everyone. Whosoever. I mean, think how broad and generous that is. And you don't have to understand everything about everything to be a whosoever. Remember the thief on the cross? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Truly I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. Amen? Do you remember that? And so how much training, how much equipping, how many Bible studies, how many prayer meetings had that thief on the cross been to? Nil. But in the moment, hanging on that tree in the 11th hour, he looked and got a revelation. I think this guy's who he said he is. I'm looking at the way he's dying. There's no ought. You know, there's nothing vile coming out of him. And like that Roman centurion, he was watching how he was dying. And then he said, why do we curse him? We're getting what we deserve. This man's done nothing. Remember me. And in that moment, he says, surely today you'll be. So that's a whosoever will. Wasn't Christ generous? I mean, in his 11th hour of his earthly ministry, he receives a thief. That thief was a whosoever will. The power of whoever. The famous text, John 3:16. How many of y'all had to memorize that growing up? Have y'all seen that at a football game, maybe an NFL game, and you got a group of Christians holding up that banner, you know, out there, John 3:16. And in the KJV, let's read this out loud together. We teethed on this, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have. God is a meanie. Why does he send people here and others there? It's not an issue of some misperceived exclusivity of God. He's going, whosoever. The door has been open. I've unlocked the jail cell. You can come out and free. It's so broad. It's not a click. It's not us foreign no more. It's whosoever. It's broad. John the Baptist looked up at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of Cappadocia." Pontius. No. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin," what? What's his intent? Is that the world could be redeemed. The question is, will the world be redeemed? It's an issue of whosoever. Instead of relegating it to some other power or rationale, it's an issue of the will. That whosoever believes shall not perish. Do you want to perish? That's what I ask folk. Sometimes people even bring up the hell issue. I'm like, well, why would God force someone who doesn't want to live for him or love him? Why would he force them to be with him in heaven for eternity? Wouldn't that be painful? But You don't have to be separated from the presence of God. Won't you come? Whosoever. Whosoever. Jesus speaking with the woman at the well, John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever or whosoever drinks the water I give will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He was gracious with her, and he was also revealing to her a part and a dimension of his character about her friends, her family, her work colleagues. And he said, look, whosoever will. You know what the woman did? She went home. And because of this generosity and breadth of heart and largeness of spirit, then she said, come see the man who told me everything I've ever done. In other words, she knew this is not just, it's not a clique. There's not some elitism, as it were. But I met a man who read my mail. He forgave me. And it's not only for me, it's for whosoever will. Jesus declared it that way. Jesus comforted Martha. Remember Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus passed. Jesus got there late. Jesus said to Martha in John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever or whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus speaking later to the unbelieving Jews in John 12, 46, said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Peter, again, addressing Cornelius' household, his Gentile household, in Acts 10, 43, Peter says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whom? Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Whoop, whoop. Now, this was a revelation to Peter. Remember the vision of the sheet that was lowered? You know, and then you had all the different creatures in there, had some seafood in there, and finally the nickel dropped. I mean, a grown man who won't eat shrimp, it's like, I just don't know how much fellowship I can have with that. But anyway, I mean, God bless the Jewish dietary law, but if it's in the sheet, you may eat, all right, as long as you bless it. All right, so, but Peter struggled with this. He had to get a revelation. Even the Gentiles, Lord, oh, even the Gentiles, Peter. It's not your mindset of who I bring in. I'm just a big God. I've got a party prepared, a wedding that's coming. I want all mine to go into the highways and byways that my house can be full. So again, it's just funny in our finite mind. Do they mark up? Do they qualify? Will this person, can they really do it? Yet they don't serve God the way I do. I mean, even though God is broader than our limitation that we project on him, as sometimes we make God in our own image. Martin Luther said, there'll be three surprises in heaven. Those that are there, I didn't think would be there. Those that are not there, I thought would be there. And thirdly, that I'm there, you know. And so he engages Peter on this issue. Whosoever believes, Peter, shall receive. He told his household in Acts 10. Whosoever believes shall receive. Can we say that together? Whosoever believes shall receive. Yes, even among the Gentiles. Even among you and me. All people everywhere. Acts 17, 30. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands whom? All people everywhere to repent. Now again, who and where? All people everywhere. Can we say that together? All people. That pretty much wraps it up, doesn't it? Can you feel God's heart here? Who does that leave left as far as his intention? Now, we have attention. We have a will. Why in the world God would take the risk to give us a will is beyond me. But he did. But as far as his intention, all people everywhere. Not that all will act on it, but what is his intention? I think it's clear. This is not some obscure text pulled out and standing alone. It's systematic through and through. Romans 10, 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses how many? All who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Broad, generous, liberal in his outlook of who I want to help. My heart is for the nations. It's for the world. 1 John 4:15. If anyone or whosoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is in God. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Hear me on this. I could have taken this principle and precedent and applied it to healing, deliverance, greater intimacy with God, a greater walk with God, baptism in the Holy Spirit, water baptism, you name it. If it's in the atonement and clearly available through the record of Scripture, then it's for the taking. It's for the taking. And he spreads the table in the way of a great bounty. My hope would be, you know, you hear it in athletic terms when a coach would say, leave it all on the field. My hope would be that we could, in just a few decades on the earth, download as much as we properly understood we can have. But if we have misperceptions that, well, maybe God hadn't willed that I partake of this, well, that could be a skewed perspective. But again, throughout, we read whosoever. Whosoever. Now, this does not undercut the sovereignty of God. It's both and, but there is a whosoever that's very clear. Very, very clear. And therefore, he's worked. He did the work. And we find him sitting at the right hand of the Father because he did the work. Sometimes we go, God, move. Someone says, heaven says, you move. I moved. Now you take what I did through moving 2,000 years ago, that finished work, that grace available to all. Now you move. But again, this could be applied on multiple levels. And not trying to make it simplistic, because there are things we contend for, but the bigger question is it available? Because here's the thing, if we don't believe it's available, why would we contend for it? You'll only contend for that which you believe is rightfully yours. But if you don't think it's rightfully yours in the name of, if it be thy will, if it be thy will, if it be thy... How many of you know when you know the will of the Lord, we don't have to, in a falsely humble way, preface our prayers with, if it be thy will. No, I see systematically, this is your will. Therefore, humility would say, I make a demand on that. Now, I may not hit the mark every time, but you will find me contending. Amen? We can't manipulate the Lord to open his hand. We just know that he's generous of heart, but yet he has design things in a way that we ask, seek, and knock to receive and download that which is already provided. He wants to know that it's meaningful to us. Again, we could talk about healing, deliverance, greater intimacy, baptism in the Spirit, water baptism. Now, some folk just don't know because faith comes what? By hearing. And so if you've never heard, then there's not the corresponding faith to rise for that. Usually you get what you preach. You preach salvation, there'll be faith to get saved. You preach healing, faith will arise to believe God for that. Because, you know, through the hearing of the word, faith comes in that area. Remember when Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, he said, blind Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus was not shy, and I like this about our man. He was yelling, you know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I'm sure everybody was like, you know, get him into the other room, you know. But, you know, if you're blind, you know, you might say, I could give a rip about decorum. I'm blind. You know, I want to, and I hear, I've heard, faith comes by hearing. I've heard about this guy, this Jesus of Nazareth. So the one time he comes near me, I'm not going to, again, be falsely humble. If it be thy will at a distance, you know, lobbing a little, you know, breadcrumb. He just thought, this is my moment. I mean, you know, that the opportunity of a lifetime is only available in the lifetime of the opportunity sometimes. The window opens, the window shuts. Jesus is passing by and he's like, look, they can rebuke me, but I will enjoy sight as I'm telling them, sorry, I got a little loud. But I'm enjoying sight, you see. But the interesting thing, again, is that we find when he's crying out to the Lord, Jesus knows all things. He perceives and understands all things. But still, he posed the question to Bartimaeus in Mark 10, 51. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, we've talked about this before. You would think if there was any cynicism in the afflicted one, they'd say, well, duh. Where are you, by the way? I can't see. Why would Jesus throw a rhetorical question out there that he knew the answer to? Jesus also likewise asked the invalid of 38 years at the pool of Bethesda in John 5, 6. 38 years. Can you say 38 years? He asked him, do you want to get well? I mean, after a while, you're like, is this for real? Don't mess with me. Because it had not yet dawned on him there's a whosoever will when Jesus draws near. Now, again, it doesn't mean that they're not, you know, near misses. We pray for something, it doesn't happen. Even Jesus one time prayed for a blind person and they saw people walking by like trees. He prayed again. You know, I think if you line 10 people up, you pray for all 10, 4 get healed, that's a good day. Well, what about the other 6? I don't know. But we're better off where we are now than when we first started praying. I don't know what I don't know. He just said to pray and to believe. And so here he is working with the invalid of 38 years. And he's also working with blind Bartimaeus. Why would he ask these obvious, even and potentially insulting questions? He wanted them to want it and to pull on him. That's why he would walk by need all the time. The poor were everywhere. The sick were everywhere. And he'd walk on by. Oh, cold, callous. You just walk by a beggar. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying. So it's not a matter of need. It's, is there any faith that will pull on me and calls me to do to her? I'll respond to that. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Likewise, there's always opportunity around it. We have to be led of the Spirit. It doesn't mean you're cold or callous. It's like, no, I need to be a good steward, and I need to hear God. I need to hear the Lord. I have the privilege as a priest to hear the Lord on this matter, you see. But he wanted them to declare, I'd like my sight, or I want to be healed. I remember hearing the story about Smith Wigglesworth, the olive mighty man of God, Welchman, that had even had raised the dead, and incredible miracles in his ministry. And someone he knew, a connection, said, there's someone I want you to pray for that's really in a bad place, really bad off. And so the story goes, he walked and this friend connection took him to that person in their home, walked up into their room, opened the door. He took one look at her and said she didn't want to be healed and just turned around and left. I thought, rude, rude, rude. But yet he had been in the game so long and had learned just the nuances of this dynamic of healing. It was like maybe she was owning it and really didn't want to be free. And he's like, I'm not going to pray for someone who's not a whosoever, who doesn't want it. Amen. In other words, I'm not going to play that. It was a discernment thing, even though I'm sure it appeared to be callous to the undiscerning. But I'm telling you, Jesus walked past people every day, every day, every day. But who would pull on him? Who would have some skin in the game and go after it? Go after it. Look at your neighbor and say, go after it. Come on now, go after it. What do you need? Is it in the atonement? Is it biblical? Is it available? Let's go. What if it didn't work? Nothing's lost. It just meant we just had some great quality time with the Lord asking. You know, I love to pray regardless of what we're praying about. To me, it's just an excuse to get around God. We'll pray about all kinds of things. I just want to get around Him. And the things we pray about are real, but I just like the excuses that we're just to get around Him. It's just like the getting is good. The waters are good. You see, He responds to hunger in that way. The power of our will in the equation. And also that of others. Is it directed intentionally toward God? And that by the calling and grace of God, He has enabled us and others to say yes, if we will. If we will. God has given us a will. This truth is not in conflict with His sovereignty. He has clearly given us a will. Again, what a risk to grant us options and choices. You know, in order for worship to genuinely be worship, it means you need the option not to worship, for it to be worship. But if He created you as an autotron, I will praise Thee, I will praise Thee. That's probably what I would have done, not God. In order for worship to genuinely, authentically be worship means you have the option not to. Then you voluntarily give. That's like the privilege of when you want to give to someone. It's not because you're presuming on me. I want the joy of wanting to do it. Are we here? As a steward, you see. The Bible even concludes in the book of Revelation. Interestingly, it concludes with whosoever will. And we'll get that to a moment. But I want us to see the power in our will in this two-sided coin. God's role, our role. God has a role, we have a role. God is sovereign and we have a will. And if someone forces you to choose between the two, they are offering you a false choice. A false choice. It's like asking me, Taylor, are you a husband or a father? Okay, yeah. Now come on, which one is it? No copping out here. Which one? Are you a father? I'm like, well, they're not mutually exclusive. It's like asking, do you believe in God's justice or in God's mercy? Come on, which one? It's like, well, do I have to choose? No. Both can be true at the same time. And the tension between those two truths shouldn't intimidate or throw us off our supposed position. Listen, just being made in the image of God gives us amazingly great options and opportunities in life, even if not yet serving Him and surrendered to Him. You know, it's amazing, those that have not yet bowed the knee, but yet they are made and created like we in the image of God, and the potential and the possibility of God's creation made in His image, what they can do, even outside of the covenant, is staggering to me. It's staggering to me. Not yet serving Him, even not yet surrendered to Him, but the image of God is still there. The most hardened of sinners that we have just written off, the image of God is still there. Imago Dei. Still there. Created in His image. I love how in Mark 5, I mean, this is an amazing story about the madman of the Gadarenes. A lot to take, I think, from this. In Mark 5, 1. It says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came up from the tombs to meet Him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with the chain. Why? He broke it. He was demonized. It was supernatural, but not the holy supernatural, but the sinister. Verse 4, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. I mean, you know, our man had a few little issues right here. Grown man got some issues here. So something needs a little help. But I love this verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he did what? He ran and fell on his knees in front of him. Listen, this is powerful. Even in his demonized state, he had the ability and the will to run to Jesus and fall before him. Wow. He didn't grow up in Sunday school. Be nice. This was bad. Legion was up in him. All kind of goblins up in the man. He still had the ability, created in the image of God, to run to Jesus and fall before Him. His will was still enough intact. There was enough image of God working within him that he could still, in that horrific state, make a move toward Jesus. That's amazing to me. That gives us hope. If he could do it, come on, somebody. If he could somehow make his way to the man and run toward him. Also, in that demonized state, he still had enough will not to run off the cliff and be drowned in the lake like the pigs did. The minute with their request to be sent into the pigs, what did the pigs do? What'd that deviled ham do? What'd it do? Come on. Ran off the steep embankment. But when those same demons were in this madman of the Gadarenes at the Gerasenes, he still had enough will not to take his own life. That's amazing. To me, enough self-control not to commit suicide, enough will and self-control, even in that state, to run toward our Jesus. Amazing. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. The power of our will is within the image of God that we each are created in. Whosoever will. He died for the sins of the world. That's the painful thing, is that the debt was paid. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who would not say yes to this great acquittal, this cosmic acquittal, whereby even righteousness is imputed which is an accounting term. He deposits it in our account. Who does that? Will we respond? Why would we not respond? Yes, the Spirit of God clearly draws a man or a woman. We understand that clearly. You can't come to Him unless He draws. But He draws. But He draws. And I love Joel when it talks about in the last days His Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, not just the church, but all flesh will see it together. The God mocker, the atheist, the agnostic, the hostile toward God, you see. So yes, the Spirit of God clearly draws a man or a woman. God draws, He convicts, we respond. He draws, we respond. Again, you can fill in the blank. Healing, deliverance, breakthrough. There's no man-centered formula. If we believe God provides, we will, at minimum, contend, respond in faith. Yes, there are mysteries. David said there were things too wonderful for him to comprehend. They're mysteries. There's some situations where we don't need to have trite answers and easy answers. It doesn't help the situation, but we stand with our brothers and our sisters. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep, you know, feeling their burden and their pain. So there are mysteries. Yes, there are questions. This is not an equation. It's relationship, you see. But as for we in our house, we want to set our hearts. We want to be numbered among the whosoever, because the invitation is just so broad. He's so generous. Will we respond? Are we among the whosoever? If God calls you to salvation, will you respond? It's for whosoever. If you hear His voice, we're exhorted, don't harden your heart. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day. I'll never forget witnessing to this boy outside of a gym one time. And he said, yeah. He said, a couple years ago, I thought about getting saved. He said, but my spirit won't ready. I'm like, let me think of that theologically. I thought about it, but my spirit won't ready. You know, I didn't even get into the grammar. I was just thinking about the concept. I just thought, you tell your spirit to be ready. Hello? We can't kick the can down the road. We can't project it off on something. God desires that how many perish? The none. But that all would come. When God's ready, news alert, He's ready. Today is the day. Now is the time, that acceptable time. Same, whether baptism, whether being filled with the Holy Spirit, you fill in the blank. I mentioned earlier, the Bible in Revelation even closes out with this concept in the fifth to the last verse in Revelation 22:17. It reads, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever or whosoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes," the King James says, whosoever will, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Now, what kind of gift? The free gift. Whosoever will, take it, bless God. Take it by faith, earnestly and with zeal, with a head of steam like blind Bartimaeus, or the invalid of 38 years, say, yes, what would you have me do for you? Fix me, heal me, forgive me, this free gift, whosoever will. Is that you? Is that me? Will we take the free gift? Will we allow that righteousness to be deposited into our account? I just want to encourage us about this because it affects how we approach God. It also affects how we relate with the world. If we're thinking, well, you know, in the day of God's power, the people will volunteer freely. But theologically, it's always the day of His power. Now, there are certain seasons, yes, in history where God bears down. But there's never a day, theologically, that it's not the day of his power. In other words, the gates are open, come one, come all. And certainly there's a place of wisdom of waiting until the timing is right. And yes, one sows, another waters, God brings the increase. There's timing. He makes everything beautiful in its timing. We just want to make sure that we're not mistaken in his intention and our outlook on life. Amen? This pertains to us and how we view God. What do we need? Is it in the atonement? Is it biblically based? Is it in the record of Scripture? Can we find a corresponding promise? If we can, especially if it's systematic, then it's a whosoever will. Go for it. Go for it. We can go for that which we rightly comprehend and believe, but if we're murky and don't understand, we don't really exercise a real faith because the jury is still out. We're not, and then therefore it becomes more of a, if it be thy will. And again, there are some things that are hard to comprehend. There are some things that are mysterious. We exercise faith to the degree that we understand it and comprehend it. But where the record is clear, faith rises for salvation, for deliverance, for breakthrough. It doesn't mean that there's not a season of sowing. We don't just manipulate God like a genie in a bottle. Now, God. You know, like we'll draw a line in the sand. Now or never. He'll say, fine, never. Yeah, great. It's kind of like Parent Trap. Remember when the girlfriend of Dennis Quaid said, all right, it's me or them. He said, them. With the twins. Stay in the game, contend, believe. But understand, many times it's a whosoever will issue. I just want you to know that the doors are open. That's what I'm trying to get. The doors are open. The doors are open. He's brought, he's generous. Say he's generous. Generous. It's not a, does he want to do this? I don't want to pray against the will of the Lord. It's just a matter of the reading. It's an issue of the gaining the knowledge, the reading. Whosoever will. Father, we thank you for the record of Scripture that we're not left to our own devices. Lord, I thank you. You've not obscured your word. It's given to the common man. I thank you. We live in a generation where it's given. Thank you for the printing presses of centuries ago that took the holy word of God out of the hands of just the priesthood and got it into the hands of the laity, as it were, so that we could read and see what's ours, what's been provided for us, the bounty where the table has been richly spread for us. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, I would encourage you, don't harden your heart. Now is the acceptable time. Today's the day. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord, you've been hanging around the things of God, but you've never quite yet cut covenant, and you're saying, I need to be forgiven today. Would you throw up your hand? You said, that's me. I need to do the I'm a whosoever will today. I need to do that. Again, other issues of just walking in the will and the purpose of God. What is he calling you to? Is there some kind of a fork in the road? Is there a challenge that in grace he's laying before you? Are there some little things of lordship and some pesky things that chafe at that being a reality? Top button issues, you see. Whosoever will. Now I want you to, in your heart, speak to any challenges or affliction, whether they be mental, spiritual, or physical. This is also a whosoever will moment. Speak to those right now. Get you some word. Get you a promise so that it's not arbitrary. Although God will heal, he'll hear just about anything. He's so generous. Anything clunky, he'll take it. Even the prayer of help. But just find your scripture in your heart. Now just right now, declare that. Whosoever will, declare it. Declare it. He makes wrong things right. The restorer of the breach. The repairer of foundation. speak to the mountain. It is written. It is written. Whosoever will come to the waters, the free gift, his provision for you.